50 days after Passover, Pesach, not Easter, Passover, the last full moon, look on your calendars, 50 days later, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Just think about that and get ready for it.
Amen. Thanks, brother. Wow. God is already moving in our midst. And wow. If you have not felt refreshed already, I'm glad you're here. We have an exciting morning. He's coming. And we're going to be, Pastor Stan's going to be leading us in communion later on here after Mark shares an encouraging word. So I just had a couple things, quick things to share. This past week, just I found myself encouraging myself in the Lord. And I think King David has given us a lot of lessons from his life. And many times as you read through the Old Testament and you hear about his stories and the things he went through, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And it's so powerful. Throughout the week, as we go through our daily life, I find myself often with the Lord and seeking his face and encouraging myself in him. And so however that can be shared to you. Wanted to share a little announcement from the Harrisons. So many of you are aware of George and Madeline Harrison. They've been here and spoke a couple of times. And as you know, they have a big mission in Africa. They go every year for a couple of months. Tim has a couple photos he's going to throw up on the big screen. And they sent in a newsletter, a field report yesterday. And I just wanted to touch on a couple things before I invite my brother Mark to really soak us in God's word here next. And this is a little picture. The man on the left was a Muslim who just got saved. And he's not able to walk, so they actually took up an offering and made a bicycle for him. And he's just praising Jesus now. And they're actually not in South Sudan because of civil war. Civil war that's taken place there has pushed them into northern Uganda. And they're in a refugee camp that is just unbelievable unless you've been over there. It's hard for us to actually imagine what life is like there. So I'm just going to read a couple of things that are encouraging for those of you who are aware of their situation. So they had, in the refugee camp, there's been several pastors there who have desired to have church and start schools, and so they've put up temporary housing and temporary buildings to start educating the kids. And they prepared for a church service. They had 400 people, including 25 Muslims. They're seeing Muslims coming to the Lord on a regular basis. They had a supper. Yeah, that's worthy of praising the Lord for. That's... It's been on my heart, and I think that's the next big move of God to drop a little seed there. But is Muslims from all over the world, they're already, the Lord is just bringing them in droves into the kingdom, which is glorious. But they had a supper where they invited 100 people, and they prepared food enough for 120, but they actually had about 421 people show up. And he says here that God multiplied, and yes, there was food left over. This was their Easter celebration, sorry. It says, even after many came for seconds, there was food left over. For us, it was very emotional, one of the best Easters ever. Truly, God is moving in the refugee camps. There's over 100,000 people in this refugee camp, like the size of Red Deer and second biggest in the world, Doug says, yeah. The United Nations has actually, I was watching a video from George, and just pray for peace, and that's actually what they're asking for. He says in there... there's many exciting testimonials that are coming out of there as many Muslims have been coming to the Lord. There's still refugees arriving daily from the South Sudan. But life in the refugee camps here is horrible. Death surrounds all of us 24/7. Just this past week, two of our staff lost close family members. Pray for peace to come quickly. We've experienced many, many God moments, and we know that we're in the right place at the right time. And my wife and I were just, yesterday we were praying through some things that the Lord has in our hearts, and we came across this, and I only got about two paragraphs in, and I was just a babbling mess. And so obviously God is doing something, but they're coming back in a couple weeks, so maybe they'll be here to share a little bit more. And so, Brother Mark is going to point us in the right direction with God's holy word. So let's pray, and then Pastor Stan will be up to lead us in communion after. So.
Okay, man.
Lord God, you're so good. Thank you for showing up today. Thank you for refreshing us already by your presence, your sweet, sweet presence, Lord. Be glorified today here, Lord God Almighty. Father, I ask that you would open our understanding, that we would understand your scriptures today.
Yes, Lord.
Open your word, Lord.
Yes.
Open your word. Let it be received in our hearts with joy and great gladness, that enduring word, and let it bring forth mighty fruit for your kingdom. In my name, Jesus. Amen. Bless my brother. Open his mouth, Lord. Use his tongue as he desires you to use it. In my name, Jesus.
Jesus is Lord. Amen. Oh, amen. Yeah, here we go. Glory to God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father God. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, greetings, all my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the house of the Lord. God commands us to enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise with our heart. Jesus, my Redeemer, our Redeemer lives. The resurrection life of Jesus Christ lives in every single one of us. When you've come to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, my Redeemer, he lives in you. He lives in all of us. And it is just, oh man, I was up last night, couldn't sleep. Man, the Lord, this past couple of days, I've just been searching the scriptures. Man, can't sleep. The Lord just puts me in the Word. Just pray and meditate on God's Word. Says, Lord, what do you have here, Father? And, the Lord's got me. It's about the fullness of Christ in us and the power and authority that we have in Jesus. And that all power and authority has been given to us. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. And it's all in all. It's not just a little bit. It's everything. And my Redeemer lives, and his word says, I will grant you everything that your heart's desire. Just ask of me and believe. All things are possible to those who believe the word of God. And when you sow the word of God in your heart, all things are possible, because you're going to see the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ manifest through you. And man, he's alive. Thank you, Jesus. And this one word he got, man, he's got me a whole page. Oh, I got a whole page here of scripture that the Lord put on my heart. But first, he's got me in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to and on. Hey, it says, now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, you will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the Lord God Almighty. You will be prepared for every good work. And now the word goes on, hey? Now flee from youthful lust, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. And then it says, don't go this way, man, but refute foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance and leading them to the knowledge of truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. And this is our dad's given us this instruction book on how to walk and live in Christ Jesus. He wants all. He doesn't want 10%, he doesn't want 99%, he wants 100% of our heart. When we give 100% of our heart to the Lord, you're going to see the power. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms is yours. Every promise of God is yours. When you believe,
Do you dare to believe that the power of God can be manifested in you as the same as it was in Jesus Christ? But that's what the Word of God says. And, oh man, I'm going to go to another word here too, hey. This is 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. It says, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has his hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. He's called us to be pure. He calls us to be holy. He sees us as blameless. And you've been set free. Like Paul writes in the book of Romans chapter 6, you've been set free from the law of sin and death. No longer walk in it. The stronger you get in the Lord, and the more you study God's word, and sows the word of God in your heart, no sin, nothing's going to come your way, because you have all power and authority. The word of God comes in. The enemy bugs you, just say to the devil, devil, did Jesus come in the flesh? He'll say, oh, he didn't. So get behind me, Satan, get underneath my darn feet, because you've already lost. You've been judged. We're overcome by the word of God. And I thank you, Father God. Glory be to you, Lord. And then I'm going to go into the book of Peter here. And the book of Peter, chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And man, like the word of God, it's just so real. Like, you look at Psalm, Psalm 105, or Psalm 119, verses, verse 105, hey? And, man, it's just, glory to you, Father God, hallelujah. Like, your lamp, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The light, God's word, his spirit in life, the word of God, it's imperishable. It lives in us forever and ever. Ever and ever. And when you go to the book of Philippians, chapter 9 and 10, and like Philippians, glory to you, Father God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Verse 2 and 9 and 10. It says here, for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. The name of Jesus, the authority, the investment that God put in the name of Jesus, when he sacrificed him and put him to death, and he rose again on the third day. Peter and John in this third chapter 3 in the book of Acts, there's a man crippled crying out, help me with alms. He says, we don't have this, but I have the word of God. Jesus Christ is Nazareth. Get up and walk. the power of Jesus. You speak his word. It's the word of God, the word of Jesus Christ living with us. That is all the power of God Almighty. And man, when you sow that into your heart, it is just unbelievable. And I was having coffee with Ted and the Pattersons there yesterday, hey? And, And we were talking and just, we were having church there at McDonald's there, drinking Java. And just sharing the word of God. And then I put it on my heart. I said, Cheryl, I was sharing with Cheryl, this is a word the Lord gave me. And I shared it with her, and she got the same word too. And it was a confirmation. And it's for this church. And it says, concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain. Since you have become dull of hearing, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And man, I'll tell you, and we got to open ourselves up and get hungry for the word of God. We got to study the word of God. You got to sow it in your heart. He tells you so many times, like for him to sow the word in your heart, put it in there more and more, and you'll overcome. You won't have a problem whatsoever at all is when you have your mind set on the Lord God. And when you sow the word of God, the power of Christ living within you. Because you what can man do? Nothing. If God is for you, who can be against you? Jesus Christ lives. He's my redeemer. He made me the head and not the tail. He made me a lender, not a borrower. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I thank you, Lord, because the word of God says that. I'm at work. I'm almost 58 years old. I'm working the oil rigs. And I go work the floor and relieve these young guys up there. I'll go swing tongs and pull slips. But my drillers say, look at that old guy, the old man over there. He's all working those young guys. So he's working, it's the strength that God gives me. Like he is my strength. He can do all things through who? Christ who strengthened you. The word of God says he'll supply all your needs. He supplies my strength. He supplies my finances. He supplies your health. Like everything, it's not everything. He says it's all. All is all and all is, it is absolutely all. And listen, man. And oh, glory to you. And like last week, when Brother Paul was sharing from the book of Ephesians, hey, and when you get to read the whole book of Ephesians, that's a supernatural life of Jesus Christ of what we have in Christ. And it says, okay, I'll read from chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind of attention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us, the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he proposed in him. And the prayer, you got that, the prayer started in verse 17, hey? I say this prayer every day. I might say it two or three times a day. Because you take that prayer, you put your name in that word. When you go, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that you may give to me a spirit of wisdom and of revelation, the knowledge of you. And I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened so that I will know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, to his surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. And all things are possible to those who believe. Our God is a God of miracles. Our God is a God who lives inside us. He is the living. Our Jesus, he lives. He lives in us. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And Jesus Christ, glory to you, Father. And amen is right. Oh, glory, 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 Father. And then I'm going to go into Ephesians 22 and 23 also here. It says, we'll start with 21. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as a head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all. Glory to you, Father. Hallelujah. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. Well, I'll go start with verse 4. It says, there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Jesus Christ, he's right here. And that's his word. He's in all. All things. All. Doesn't that just blow you away? All. Thank you, Jesus. All in all in all. Glory, Father God. You're so awesome, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, Father. I'm going to go back to, right here again. Okay, same thing with 1 John again, chapter 5. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And there's only one commandment now in the new covenant, which is love. He says, love your neighbors. Love covers all other 10. Because when you walk in love, you're not going to do any of the other 10. The 10 was for the old. You can't pour new wine in an old wineskin. In the Old Testament, Jesus was on them. In the new, Jesus is in us. The power of the living God, he lives right inside of us. The new covenant of Jesus Christ. Man, glory to you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Glory, 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 Lord. I'm going to go into the book of Peter again, 2 Peter. And chapter 1. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith as the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Like he's talking to the believers right here. Same faith as ours. By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Glory, Father God. And now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. You will never stumble. That's a promise. You never. When you're walking in love and you're walking in God and seeking God, there's nothing that you can't do. There's nothing that can come your way. The enemy's already been lost. He's already been defeated. And when you're walking in the power of love and sowing the word of God and the promises of God and making it completely inside of your heart, you dare to believe. Don't start believing. Believe. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, Father. Glory to you. And Isaiah 26:3. Glory to you, Father. And it goes, yeah. 26:3. And you can't have any problem. It says, the steadfast of the mind will keep you in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust the Lord forever, for in the God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Perfect peace. And when you get into the book of Romans. Oh, man, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You get into the book of Romans, hey? And it's talking about the conflict of the two natures. And it says, for I joyfully concur with the law, chapter 7, verse 22. And I'm going to go to 25 here. Then I'm going to go to Romans 8, 5 to 8. It says here, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. The law. We set our mind on the law of God. We get our mind on the walk in the Spirit. But I see a different law than members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin and death. Paul isn't going, he's teaching this to other believers. He's teaching them. As you go through the chapter 6, if they think that's Paul going through this, then they think Paul's a schizophrenic, which he's not a schizophrenic, okay? And, man, Paul says, you know, why do I speak more tongues than any of you? Because he was in the Spirit constantly, in revelation, constantly praying in the Spirit. And that's where the supernatural power of God that you'll realize is when you walk in the Spirit and you get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Baptism with water was in the Gospels and the Acts. In the epistles, we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Spirit, that's the baptism in the new epistles. Hallelujah. But Paul writes here again, sorry for getting away from it, but making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is my members, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? But thanks be to God, to Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God. But on the other hand, with my flesh, the law of sin. But when you go back to Isaiah 26:3, when your mind is set on God, it's just perfect peace. you'll overcome the world. You're going to overcome what's ever on your mind. Because your mind is constantly on God. Constantly thinking. When you're not thinking of the world, you're not thinking of the flesh. Like when you get up in the morning, I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for divine health. Thank you, Lord, for the cross and your shed blood, for this resurrection life. Thank you that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Okay? Thank you for the blood it gave, Father. And when you're walking like that and sowing the word of God inside of you, nothing's going to... We got to stand up. And we sing this song, I surrender all. How many of y'all, do you all really mean that? Do you really surrender in your heart to God? Come down before the throne of God and give him all. Lord, take my life and make something of it. Use me. You've called me, Lord. The steps that I'm going to walk, you know beforehand which way I'm going to go. Show me in Revelation your word, God. Show me the way, what you have in store for me to do for to bring glory and honor to your kingdom, Lord. You call me to be a soul winner. The word of God says, to those who believe, they will lay hands on the sick. Signs and wonders is going to follow those who believe. Do you believe? Do you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's all in all inside of you? He wants you. He wants us. He wants us to come down and to bow before him, to God, the throne of grace. Come to the throne of grace boldly. And the thing is, when we ask God and we pray for God, we don't beg God. I believe what the word of God says. I says, thank you, Father. Your word says I'm healed. I come in agreement with your word. I come in agreement with my Father God, because that's what your word says, Father. That by your stripes, I am healed. Your word says I'm going to be prosperous even as my soul prospers. I thank you, Father. You bless me financially so I can bless other ministries. I can sow here. I could sow there. I could sow there. It's just a revolving door of blessings to bless others. That's how you use when you're... That's how you use the finances of God. He gives to you, you give it back and sow it somewhere else. And it just revolves. You have tithing rights when you do tithe. And when you sow, it's just absolutely, it just blows me away. And when I trust in God, like 2 years ago, I was unemployed for a long time. My mother passed away. I was up there sick. But the power of God was so... I'm in her room. Well, first, when the doctor told my mother, Mrs. Copeland, you got 3 days to live. She looked at him with a smile on his face and said, sir, and how was your day? The grace of God in it. How was your day when somebody tells you you got 3 days to live? And, you know? And a 93, was it? That Flossie was like 93 or 94. She never heard the word of God in all her life. And I'm sharing here, and she's crying next door. And the Lord says, Mark, go up there and tell her how much I love her. I share Christ with her. She comes to know the Lord at 93. Like the power of God and be obedient to the word of Christ. Give the judge. The Lord says, well, go buy her some flowers. Okay, Father. Go get a little Christmas tree. Okay, Lord. Just go tell her how much I love her. Just wrap your arms around her. She says to me, like she was kind of part blind. She says, well, you must be an angel. I said, no, I'm a servant of Jesus. I come to tell you how much Jesus loves you. You know, you're not pitiful. Jesus loves you. You are something in his eyes and his heart. Finances. My finances were gone. It just blows me away. The Lord blessed me with $30,000. I'm driving someplace, boom, I get hit. I'm driving my whole truck. And people will say, oh, Sue, I ain't going to sue. I give it to Jesus. The person that hit me was from BC. So they said, well, now you got to deal. We're going to have problems dealing with ICBC. I said, they say the world says I have problems, but I'm giving the Lord. He's going to take care of it. So then ICBC get a hold of me pretty, maybe about a week later. Well, Mr. Colton, I wish more people were honest like you. We'll give you what you're entitled to. Blah, blah, here's a check. Blah, blah. Okay, thank you kindly. Here's my old beat-up truck. Oh, well, write another check for $5,000 for this. But you get to keep both. Thank you, Jesus. So I sold my truck. I blessed somebody, sold my truck for $400. Boom, 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 boom. Thank you, Jesus. Not long after that, another $20,000 come. I'm paying a mortgage. I got no bills. I'm paying a mortgage. I've been separated for 5 years. I love my wife. I'm still believing that the Lord's going to restore my marriage. We're still good friends. I'm, with what my wife's going through, I'm supporting her. I'm paying the mortgage of the house that she lives in. And I give it all to God. I says, God, you're my supplier. You're going to, so this is what your word says, Father. You're going to take care of me. You're going to supply all my needs. You're going to supply my finances. And that other people are saying, oh, the oil patch is going down. This is going down. I says, no, I'm not under the world's economy. I'm under God's economy. I'm not under the economy of Babylon. I'm under God's economy. He's my banker. Because I says, Lord, that's what your word. You're going to supply all my needs. Thank you, Jesus. But, yeah, there was a last night. Like, we got to quit bickering and throwing poison arrows at one another, hey? That's a thing, hey? There's a, the Lord, this really disturbed me last night. Well, this morning, hey? And he gave me another word, hey? And, man, it's Matthew 11:25. It says, and knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand. And there's a lot of division here. You get into prayer groups, your prayers aren't going to get answered because there's division there. One person's theology is this, their other doctrine's this, and it's just bouncing. Your prayer is going onto that wall and landing right flat on the ground. There's too much division. God called us to love. You know, he says you can do all things. You can cast, like you can prophesy, you can have miracles of healing and everything. But if you don't have walking in love, you're a babbling gong. That's the word God says. You're a babbling gong. You got to walk in love. You read the love chapter. When, like in Corinthians chapter 13. Just calling us to love one another. To walk in love. But quit throwing arrows at one another. Repent. If you hold anything against your brother. And like when you go into Mark chapter 11. Verse 22 to 20. Verse 22. Like the 25. And Jesus was a faith teacher. He taught about faith. That's all he did. He taught about faith. And you can't please God without faith. And it goes here. Have faith in God. A cross reference will say, have the God kind of faith. It says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, you gotta, and it will be granted to him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. But nobody, everybody forgets verse 25. And it says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. Because if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven will forgive you your transgressions. And the power of the law of love, that's, you break the new covenant of the law of love. You're just, doesn't matter, I don't care who you are, not, you're just going to walk the most unrighteous, ungodly, you'll be murmuring, complaining, you think you can do whatever, but you're not going to walk in the kingdom of God. You got salvation, but you're not going to walk in the kingdom of God. You're not going to walk in his blessing. You're not going to walk in his healing power. You're not going to walk in anything until you forgive that person. You got to forgive. You have to forgive. You got to walk in love. And it's so powerful. God, that's what he teaches. Well, everything works through by love. To love. To love your brother as you love yourself. To love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. People tell me, some guys, I'll have a hard tool pusher I work for. Why do you love him? Because the Word of God tells me to love him. I pray for him. I tell him that the Word of God says every time I pray and love that man, I'm just heaping burning coals on top of his head. And that's what happens. And then it'll go 2 or 3 weeks later. Then I find this, it just turns around. Then I'm in it, my boss is favored. I can do whatever I want there. Guys at work ask me, they always know. They says, Mark, you pray for us all the time. I say, yeah, I do. I have to. That's why I have a house that says, Jesus is Lord over this drill rig. Jesus is Lord over that camp. Wherever we are, Jesus Christ is Lord. Doesn't matter. He is Lord over all this. Because I declare it. I decree it, Lord. You are Lord over all. Ever, doesn't matter what. When I pray for them, I says, thank you, Lord. It took 30 years of praying for my younger sister, but she came to know the Lord. Just like the persistent widow. Don't give up. Your prayers are going to be answered. And I look, God, our time and his time were two different things, eh? But when Jesus, you just don't give up. And I thank the Lord. When I pray for people at work, I says, I thank the Lord. Your word says, Father, no one's going to come knowing unless you draw them. And the Holy Spirit's going to convict them. So, Father, you draw them. And I thank you that they're going to be my new brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. You know the day they're going to come to know you, because you don't want anyone to perish. You want everyone to come to the full knowledge of you. And I thank you, Father, for that. I thank you for answering that prayer. And I receive that prayer right now, Father God. It's done. It's over and done with. I just receive it. I don't pray over and over and over again, because I only got to do it once, because I believe. It's already done. That's what God tells us. You only got to pray once. You don't beg. You don't pray over and over. Because if you do that, you're walking in unbelief. Because you're not believing. That's another reason your prayers never get answered, because you're walking in unbelief and doubt. Unbelief is a sin. Repent from that. Repent from gossip. We were having coffee the other day. A good fellowship. But then all of a sudden, the gossip started arising. And it was bad. And when I went home, I was so convicted. I felt so much. Man, it hit me. I got on my hands. And he said, Father, thank you for what you're showing me. You forgive me. You know, when I come to you and you forgive me my sins, you remember them no more. Why am I remembering theirs when you don't remember theirs, Father? And he just got down. He said, you don't criticize. You don't talk about other people. The revenge is mine, says the Lord. Don't go revenge on other people. You walk. You walk in love. And quit the gossip. Quit the garbage, the quarrelsome. You know? Other people will talk about other people, and they just want to feed their spirit and their flesh to belittle someone. They think they're so high and knowledgeable in God. But that's wrong. All of us are equal. Doesn't matter. We're all equal in the eyes of God. And quit pointing your fingers. Don't do that. Don't gossip about that. You're only destroying yourself and you're destroying others. Jesus called us to walk in love as he is love. God is love. He calls us sons of God, children of God. And he wants us to go into the deeper things of him, to grow in him. That's his heart's desire for us, to grow more and more. If you're not growing, I thank the Lord for yesterday, but yesterday's over. Today's today. And I thank the Lord that I'm going to grow more today than I did yesterday. For what he showed through the revelation. When you're in the Word, you're praying. God gets me up at 2, 3 in the morning. He gets me up for 2 or 3 hours. And I love this time now. I'm off work. Now I got a couple of months. I'm just being, the Lord is just refreshing me. All anew. Coming to my presence. And I come into his presence. Lord, that you are with me. Right here, Father. And where you are, I am. And where I am, you are. And it's just, he's calling us. He's calling us back home. And Jesus says in his word, man, Lord, you are so awesome, Father. Glory to you, Father God. Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. Glory, Father God. Glory, 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 glory. Yeah. us keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's come to the Father with thankfulness in our heart. Lord, teach me. He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to teach us and lead us to all truth and understanding. He is our teacher. He's our guide. We have the Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. They're three in one, but they're all three are different, but they are all one. And I thank you that the Lord can open up our eyes and our ears and to sow the word of God and to let Jesus Christ dwell and reign in our hearts and reign in our inner man. And we are chosen. We're called to live this divine nature. We're called to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. And thank you very much. God bless you all, to my brothers and sisters. Glory to your Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, Father. Glory. Glory, God. Praise you, Jesus.
You say amen?
Amen.
Praise. Thank you. Encouraging word. Some exhortation there. Some reminder that we need to love each other. That we need to stand together in unity. That we have a common purpose. I wish, Mark, that you would have more scripture references when you preach, though. That's good, buddy. I know we know where it's based on, right? I really felt today that God wanted us to break into some groups as we took Lord's Supper together, and it fits in with this whole idea of that we just to support each other. It really ties in with the message. And maybe it seems a little strange, we don't do this very often, but I'd like you to break. We're going to sing a song, and as we do that, we're going to break into groups of 12. As we come to the Lord's table. There are three things that happen when we come to the Lord's table. We are going to be giving thanks to God. We are going to be praising him. And we're going to be praying for each other. Jesus, when he broke the bread, it says, he broke the bread. What happened next? No. He said he gave thanks. He broke the bread and he gave thanks. So we're going to just sing this song. And it's not going to be that hard to do. Just take six people, sit in six, and then turn the chairs around six ahead of you. Turn them towards you. So try to get in groups of around 12, okay? And then we're going to pass out the bread and pass out the juice together. Lord, I lift your name on high. Let's get together.
That you filled us with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that you poured out your blood for us and that you gave us this meal to commemorate what you've done for us. Thank you that you heal us when we're broken. And that with you, there's always hope. Even when we feel hopeless, we feel that in the pit of our stomach, things are never going to change. With you, there's nothing that is impossible. Thank you, Jesus, that you broke the bread and you gave thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy of our praise. You are an amazing God. Thank you for this body, for these brothers and sisters who know you and who love you, for these who work together. Imagine if Jesus was sitting in the circle with you right now and he said, guess what, folks? These are the people that I want you to radically change the world with. These 12 people are going to change the world like it's never been changed before. Amen. Yeah. As we give thanks to God, take the bread. Remember and believe the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. He died for you. He gave his life. He gave his body because he loves you so much. And just say thank you, Lord, and partake. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Amen. Amen. You say amen? Let me hear you. You say amen?
Amen.
That's good. Like you mean it. That's good. I really believe, too, that there are a couple people in your group, maybe more, and some of you are already doing this. You just need some prayer. You need some ministry. So we're going to, as we pass out the juice, I know it might be a little awkward. Just take it. Hold on to it. But if someone needs prayer, just stand up or identify yourself. You will feel free feel free today to surround that person, to pray for that person. I see tears already. I know God is working. What do you need today? What can only God do? Let's spend a little bit of time ministering. Maybe it's a word of encouragement for somebody, or a prophetic word, or just something that someone needs to hear. We're going to play some music again. I love that last song. And I'm going to pass out the juice. Pray for each other. The Bible says that we are to pray for each other, that the early church committed themselves. They dedicated themselves to prayer and to the Lord's Supper and to fellowship. So this is biblical. So we got to do it. Jesus is alive. He is resurrected Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you're the Lord who heals. You're the one who sets my feet back on a solid ground. Amen? You're the God who takes me in my brokenness, in my sadness, in my loneliness, and you put me in a family of believers, and you remind me that I am precious in your sight. Know today that you are deeply loved by God. You are deeply loved by God. And sometimes all we need to hear is just his words, it's going to be all right. Maybe you need to hear that today. Maybe you're out of work. Maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe you've had prayer already, but you didn't stand up. You were too afraid, or you didn't want to be a spectacle. Then just listen to this today. It's going to be all right. Stop worrying, my daughter. Stop fretting, my son. Don't be anxious in anything. I am your God. And if I died for you, don't you think I'm going to take care of whatever that issue is in your life? And even if you're broke, you've got me. And even if you're angry, I will dissipate that anger. I am the Lord who healeth thee. I'm your God. I love you so much that I died for you on the cross. And you are precious to me. Never forget that you're precious to me. Never forget that I've changed your life. Remember the darkness that I brought you out of. You are no longer in that darkness. You are now a daughter of light. You live in the light. You walk in the light. And I poured out my blood for you to show you how much I love you and to remind you that you have power and that you will live forever with me. I ask you to do this until I come again, and I am coming soon. I ask you to do this to remember that I poured out my blood, but that a day is coming when we're going to have a big feast together. And believe me, it's a banquet that you can't even imagine. You can't even imagine what it's going to be like at the wedding feast when Jesus and his bride are united. And as we drink together today, we remember that he is coming soon and that we have life. L'chaim. They used to say that, L'chaim, life. It's to life. Our life is in the Lamb. Our life is in Jesus Christ. Take and drink. Remember and believe the blood of Jesus. This is a new covenant in my body, he says. You say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, my wife Crystal was reading a book that spoke that when they did the Passover, when they did the sacrifices in the Old Testament and the Passover in the Old Testament, there was always two lambs. There was a lamb that was killed at 3 o'clock, and there was a lamb that was killed at 9 o'clock. And that's really the same thing that happened with Jesus. That when he died, he was crucified on the third hour, and he actually died on the ninth hour. He is that Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Come on up, Cheryl. Cheryl just mentioned she's got a word of knowledge, I think you said, something to encourage us with.
Yeah, well, have a sense in my heart, and I think maybe some of this has been taken care of during this time of prayer, that somebody in here, I think there's more than one of you, that is just struggling with an intense feeling of, I'm never going to get out of this. I'm stuck in this rut. My life is the same. It's spring. I should be happy, and I'm not. And right now you're seeing the only way out is to die. And the Lord is saying to you, no, that's not the answer for you. He has an answer that is the absolute opposite of that, because he is the God of breakthrough. So today, if you are feeling that way, you are stuck, and you just keep going around and around, and you can't see any way out. He is the God of breakthrough. Catch somebody that you can trust to share, because I know it's really personal. I respect that. Catch somebody before you leave, and we'll pray a breakthrough prayer for you. Amen.
I hope you heard that. That's really important. And here's how we're going to conclude our service. You know, what we just went through here is really us understanding that we're forgiven. Okay, you get that? We're forgiven. That's what we take the bread for. That's why we drink the juice. We're reminded that our sin, no matter what I've done, no matter what you've done, no matter how long ago it was, it has been nailed to the cross, and I own it no more. It is no longer mine. It's Christ who has removed it. Amen? Okay, clap your hands. That's when you clap your hands and you go, yeah, amen. That's good. So here's what happened. I remember being a dad to five boys, and sometimes they'd make mistakes, and we'd have to have these times when they needed to be forgiven. But after they confessed to me or they owned up to something, you know what? It was always, okay, come here. Come here, right? Come here. Come here. And that's what God wants to, how he wants to leave this today. He wants you to hear those two words, come here. Come to me. Just come. You're forgiven. You are forgiven. Whatever it is, it's done, it's dealt with, come and come into my arms. And so here's what I hope we can do. We're going to minister with each other. You don't need to run away. I'm going to ask Crystal and Jason and a few. We've got one song we want to sing for you and then sing with you. It's such a great song. I hope you find that too. And as we start singing, I'd like you to just, everybody, just make your way up here. We're all going to stand together and worship God. But I want you to know that there's leaders of this church who are going to stay around. You know, Chad and Robin and Don and Marg and Gertie and Gaston and Cheryl. There's a bunch of people here. We're just going to stand here, pray for you if you need prayer. If you're struggling with suicidal thoughts, if you're struggling with depression or loneliness or addiction, Jesus says, come to me. Come to the altar. This song is called Come to the Altar. It hit me like a hard brick aside the head. It just meant so much to me. I want you to learn it with me, okay? And remember that after we've done all of this, he says, just come. It's okay. You can come to me now. You can come. My blood makes you pure. You are